Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. If you listen closely, you can hear that my voice is just a little scratchy, a little rough, and that is because I am back from PAX West 2016, and boy, did I have a blast. I have just had so much fun these past few days that I am just physically exhausted. But what I need to do is finish what I started, and that was August being Build a New VR PC Month. This is a paid advertisement from our friends at Intel, and I know it's a little late, but this is going to be the last week. Yes, week five of Build a New VR PC Month. So what we're going to do is we're just going to play wrap up, and we're going to put everything together in a box, nice little bow on it, and say, okay, Build a New VR PC Month is done, and then we're going to move on to bigger and better and wonderful things. So let's talk a little bit about the machine that I've built, and then some other machines that are in the background, and then we're going to talk about some other pieces that I've got that I want to discuss, just to kind of finish up Build a New VR PC Month. So let's talk a little bit about my machine. Now, for those of you who've been following along, you know that I have put together this wonderful machine. It is built around the Z170 chipset and houses a Intel Core i7-6700K processor. Now, this thing is a beast. 16 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM, solid-state drive, GTX 1070 video card, all in a wonderful full tower Corsair C70 military green case with a very powerful power supply and all the necessary pieces to be able to hook up virtual reality to this machine. Now, this machine is strictly going to be a gaming PC. This machine has one intention and one intention only, which is to provide me with the best possible VR gaming experience you possibly could have. Just anywhere. This is it. No other machine in my house is going to be able to provide the quality VR gaming experience like this one does. Now, a couple things that are funny and a couple things that are still kind of lingering. Number one is I feel like this machine needs a couple more USB 3 slots. Ports, holes, plugs, however you want to say it. I need more USB 3.0 ports. And I have tried to comprehend, I took a trip out to Fry's today, and I've tried to comprehend the differences between adding an additional PCI card, or do I get a USB 3.0 hub? And if I do, do I get one to maybe go into the 5.25-inch socket up front in the front of the machine? I'm not really sure what to do here. I've got a couple different options. So let me start off by saying that, first of all, back in the day when you had USB 2.0, you get hubs, and you could get powered hubs that were had their own independent power supply. You never worried about issues with power. However, looking at Fry's, I cannot find a 4 or 5 or 6 port USB 3.0 hub that is powered independently. Now, some people will say, well, you don't need to power it independently because of all the juice shooting at USB 3.0 already. It can power itself. I say nay, nay. I say nay, nay, that there are problems where there is not enough power going to all of them, especially if you have multiple of them on your board and up front, coming out the front of the motherboard into these ports out front. I have had issues where there is not enough power to power all of them. And I don't want that to happen here. So I want an independently powered USB 3.0 hub. So I am on a quest to find one of these, and no, I don't want to spend $40 on it. If I put a card in, that's fine, but is that overkill or underkill? I mean, I don't know. Am I going to have driver issues? Am I going to have, you know, I did that with my old machine. In order to get the Rift to work on my old machine, I had to put a USB 3.0 card in it. And the drivers were a flipping nightmare. So I don't know if I want to deal with that again. That I'm trying to avoid that. Then we've got the concept of the 5 1/4 inch bays on a mid or full tower computer. What exactly are they for? I mean, really, is that dead? I mean, again, going through Fry's and looking at all the different things they have, you can get, you know, fan controllers, temperature gauges, hot swappable hard drives. I've even seen speakers that will come out, those 5 1/4 inch bays. But, you know, we killed off the floppy drive. Hell, we killed off the IDE cable. Do we really need 5 1/4 inch bays anymore? I mean, how many of you even have one optical drive? Seriously, how many of you have one optical drive? I don't even have an optical drive. I was looking at them again at Fry's today, and I thought, well, maybe it'd be nice to have a Blu-ray player, just a Blu-ray drive. No, they're $80. Why am I doing that? That's absurd. $80 to put a Blu-ray drive into a computer where I'm barely ever going to use it? I don't think so. I'm thinking that this is the death of the 5 1/4 inch bay. I don't think that there is a reason for a 5 1/4 inch bay to exist. If I'm wrong, tell me. Because I'm sitting here looking at my own new VR PC, and I'm just thinking to myself, what am I really using this for? So if there's something novel that I haven't seen yet, you know, I've seen water cooling controllers, and I've seen some, you know, like I said, some multimedia type of stuff, card readers, you know. But really, what are you sticking in that drive? We're not doing tape backups anymore. It's not 1989. So give that some thought. Let me know. I'm curious to hear what your opinions are. What do we put in these 5 1/4 inch bays, or do they just become more fan space, or do we just leave them alone and, you know, a relic, an artifact from a bygone era? Just leave it be. I don't know. So let's give that some thought. What else? Okay, so this machine, while it is portable because of the wonderful handles on the top of the case, I'm not sure if this is the right way to go if I want to take this machine somewhere. So the reason I bring this up is there was a request to have my machine come and be part of a meetup here in Seattle on the east side in Bellevue. And unfortunately, the timing was just really bad, like super bad, over the course of that week. And so I had to decline, but I said, sure, yeah, you know, I'll bring my machine. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to bring this machine and all of the pieces that it needs along with it? And it occurred to me that a big problem is that I need a monitor. I need a monitor for this computer. Now, I know a few people out there, buddies of mine, who have gotten these quaint little USB small, you know, they might even be HDMI, I don't even know, but the small little like 10 and 11 inch flat panel. It's almost like somebody ripped the monitor off of a laptop and allowed you to plug it into your computer. And they use this on these small micro ATX computers, and this is their VR rig that they take around with them. Brilliant. Love it. But can I, should I, will I do it for this new VR PC? Just so I can say that it's portable and not have to bring a 24-inch monitor along with me everywhere I go. Is it worth the investment to be able to do that? I can't figure that out yet. So again, while I was at Fry's today, sitting there staring at all the different things that I could get, I did decide on one very valuable thing. I'm not going to put any additional lighting into my case. So I had a few people while they were watching the video, the YouTube video of me assembling my computer, they noticed that I have a white, a black and white motherboard. And the light on the Intel Core i7-6700K processor has on it a water cooler with a white light. The RAM is red, folks. And the case is green. And the Asus Strix GTX 1070 video card that I bought has the ability to display all sorts of yummy colors, which I switched over using the software to a bright green. The RAM is red. Motherboard is white and black. CPU cooler is white. And I'm sporting green on the video card. I originally thought, well, it doesn't matter what the rest of the colors are because I'm going to get this giant green LED bulb and stick it inside the case, and it is going to drown out all the rest of the color. But sitting at Fry's looking at all of these lights, trying to determine which one to get, I noticed the prices on these things were a little more than I wanted to spend for something so novel. Now, this machine, again, if it was traveling, which it might, I don't know yet. If it's traveling, man, I want it to look pretty. But what if it's not? What if it's just sitting here on my desk? Do I care what it looks like? I mean, it, really, the aesthetics of the inside of the case. I grew up in a generation where we didn't care because you couldn't see in it. The idea of an acrylic side was just, ugh, why would you do that? But this puppy, it's pretty on the inside. So I can't decide. I guess here's my challenge. If I can find a giant green LED light that I can stick in this thing that costs less than $10, I'll do it. Case closed. So the challenge is for you, my audience, to find the $9.99 LED strip that glows bright green that I can stick inside my case that will give me that adequate oomph in terms of aesthetics for this device. So that's another challenge out there for you. Some of you may remember a while back on Twitter, I posted that I had built a micro ATX computer for work. And when I say work, I mean at the offices of Studio 216 in Seattle, Washington, where we do real estate and architectural pre-visualization, you know, pre-visualization as opposed to visualization. So we built the unbuilt environment. So we're building it before it gets built, sometimes years before it gets built. Anyway, we're doing all this in VR. And we ran into the dilemma of needing to be able to take a VR computer with us everywhere. And so we built a computer that we affectionately named Walter. And so Walter, for about a year, was the VR PC. Now, I'm going to run down the list of specs here for Walter. Walter was built inside an EVGA Hadron Air case. This is a micro ATX case. And it had a ASRock 97 H97 motherboard. And it was sporting an Intel Core i7-4790S. That's a 3.2 gigahertz CPU. It's pretty powerful. On top of that, we put an Arctic Freeze 13 CPU cooler, threw in 16 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, and a full-size NVIDIA GTX 980 graphics card. You know, the usual stuff, SSD and power supply and all that jazz. This was a very powerful computer. It also was a pain in the keister to build because putting all of those components, full-size components, into that tiny little case lent itself to be some problems. I mean, it just barely fit. It was a very tight fit, but it all fit. So that was all built. I built that last, last year. I don't know. It was maybe October of last year. Walter makes its rounds goes around, becomes our rig. We put him inside of a Pelican case with a monitor on the front of the game. It was just really clever. I mean, you opened up the lid and the monitor was there. It was really cool. He made his way all around the world, and we made the mistake of letting him go through the TSA security and be checked. And oops, they tortured him. They tore Walter open. They tortured him. They waterboarded him. They did devious, evil things to him. And in the long run, ended up doing major damage. I mean, it took us quite a while to get Walter into a state where he could run again. But the light at the end of the tunnel is that Walter, while he may never be able to travel again, he was up and running. And so why do I bring this up? Well, we do a lot of VR demos at Studio 216, and we ran out of hard drive space. Walter was never meant to be housing, you know, becoming a developing test bed, which is what he has become now that he's retired from his traveling times. We needed to put another hard drive in. And taking a tiny build, a micro ATX portable case like this, and deciding that you're going to throw in a full-size 1 terabyte, Seagate hard drive. There was no room inside Walter for this hard drive. But, we eventually got it in there. And I guess it's relevant because when I look at the inside of my full-size case, my Corsair C70 for my VR PC build, I notice that there are ample spots for full-size rotating hard drives. But I don't have one in there. I don't have one in there. As a matter of fact, this computer only holds one hard drive as it currently stands, which is a 500 gig Samsung SSD. It's just one hard drive. And so I'm okay with that for right now, but I know I'm going to have to upgrade in the future. So just so you know, Walter is still doing fairly well. We took a day to update Steam and all of the runtimes and everything. And so, yeah, you know, he's recovered well from his torture by the airport government branches. So he'll be okay. He's a little shell-shocked, but I think he's going to be okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to look into getting some, as a few friends call it, cold storage for my VR gaming rig. I have a feeling that as these bigger games come out, I'm going to slowly run out of room and go, geez, I really wish I had somewhere else I could stick some of these files. Yeah. But remember, it's just a gaming rig, so I don't want to put executables on a spinning hard drive. Or do I? I mean, is 7200 RPM adequate to run a VR game? I mean, I've done it on my old machine, but am I bottlenecking myself? I mean, do you just look at it and go, well, geez, he's got that Intel Core i7-6700K on that Z170 chipset with 16 gig of RAM. Shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. You're going to get a good performance out of it because of that processor and that architecture. Doesn't matter where it's coming from. The hard drive is not going to be a bottleneck. So something I want you to consider, think about, let me know. I'm sure somebody out there knows the math and has figured it out. Well, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention a few of the things that I saw at PAX. For those of you who are paying attention, following along on my Twitter, I could not Periscope at PAX. And the reason for that is because when you've got that many technologically inclined people all using their mobile devices to communicate to each other and the outside world, there just wasn't any bandwidth left. So while I had full bars of 4G LTE goodliness, I couldn't get anything to go through. I had 100% awesome reception and no bandwidth coming my direction. So, no Periscope for you. No Periscope for me. And, yeah, I tried to take some video and tried to do some pictures. But it just, at the end of the day, it just was hard to post anything. But, I did get to go do the Intel daily wrap-up show with a few other influencers in the gaming space. And I have to admit, it was a lot of fun. Those folks followed us around. The Twitch folks followed us around and, you know, took some B-roll shots and took some, you know, interviewed us about different pieces of PAX. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. You can go check it out. It was aired at PAX 3. Just look for the Intel PAX West 2016 wrap up. We did it for 4 days. So we did it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We did it each night, 4:35 o'clock. And it was a lot of fun. We had a good time recording it. Good time, good discussions, good wrap ups. I mean, just really all the way around, good team of people putting it together, and it was fun. So, from a VR gaming perspective, I got to try the Rick and Morty simulator by the folks at Alchemy Labs, who did Job Simulator. So they did the Rickality game, and you know, I'm sure it was just a very small dosage of it, but you got the gist. They're heading in the right direction. I look forward to fondling some more plumbuses. Plumbi? I'll have to look into that. Yeah, let's see, what else did I do? I also did the Nautilus Rift, which was the fart simulation device that will be accompanying the new South Park game, which is called Fractured But Whole. And it took me a moment to realize that the name, see, if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, you get a much different sounding title than Fractured But Whole. Fractured But Whole. So anyway, the game looked good. The Stick of Truth was good. I played that game all the way through. Actually, I went through and played some of the side quests and stuff. So I had a lot of fun with that game. So I'm looking forward to the actual game, but I will not be wearing an artificial fart simulation device when I play that game. Now that I have tried it, and let's just put it this way, folks. We tried it earlier in the day, and by the end of the day, that smell was still lingering in my nose. Like, my entire sinus cavity was just destroyed from using this. It was rough. Oh, let's see what else I played. I played Doom, and it felt good. I guess. I mean, I don't know. I guess it felt good. Was it weird that I was playing Doom on a Vive? That kind of blew my mind a little bit. Why was I playing it on a Vive? Wasn't I supposed to be playing Doom on a Rift? Discuss amongst yourselves, please. Because that one kind of weirded me out a bit. All right, so there was some other stuff at PAX, and you know, I'm hoping to get into it a little bit more. For those of you who are fans of other VR podcasts, one of the people that was on the panel with me was our good friend Mr. Kent Bai, who does the Voices of VR podcast, and then Kent took the time to interview me, so there will be an episode with me in it. We talk all about controllers and whatnot. Especially since after the first night of PAX, I got to go hang out at Oculus headquarters here in Seattle. Well, I shouldn't say headquarters, but one of their offices. And I get to play Rock Band VR. I'm going to say that again. I get to play Rock Band VR. Now, so did a few of the folks from Upload VR. My good buddy Will Mason was there, along with one of his minions, and they were playing, and I was playing. And an article was written, and it got posted on Reddit, and everybody went crazy because they thought that somehow it wasn't worth playing, that it was misconstrued into making it sound like because there's no cascade of notes that you're somehow just doing whatever the hell you feel like it with the buttons. I tried to fix that and say, hey, no, there is some skill to it. But here's what I'm going to tell you. As a fan of the Guitar Hero / Rock Band genre of games, okay, this is coming from a guy who, with his wife and four daughters, played a full accompaniment of Beatles Rock Band. Drums, guitars, microphones, duets, the works. Okay, I'm talking about a guy who understands how these games are supposed to be played and appreciates them for what they are. This is Rock Band VR from Oculus is the first step, and it is a good first step. The first time I played it, I enjoyed myself. The first time I played it, I appreciated it for its just everything. The implementation of the technology and the gameplay itself, the mechanics. Was it perfect? No. Was it playable and fun and definitely heading in the right direction? Yes. Do I recommend that you get it if you are a fan of the original games? Absolutely. Absolutely. I am endorsing this game. I talked to the folks, the developers were there. They said that they know that they've got some room still to grow and they plan on doing so. So kudos to them. I look forward to playing it. I especially look forward to playing it on my new VR PC because I asked, I said, so what am I going to need? Obviously my touch controllers. So right now, when I look at my VR PC, I've got my Oculus Rift and cameras plugged in and set up. And I say cameras, I have two currently set up on my machine. I have my touch controllers chilling off here to the side. I think the one needs a new battery, but I'll get to that. The Vive is plugged in and Lighthouse controllers are active. And I just reset my Chaperone and updated Steam, which only took about 6 hours. And everything is set up and ready to go. But I realized when I was talking to these guys, I said, so Rock Band VR, what's the interface here? And they're like, oh, well, you're going to need a Bluetooth guitar. I went, oh, that means I need Bluetooth on my new computer. And sure as could be, I went and checked and double checked and triple checked. And no, the motherboard that I bought does not have any Bluetooth. So guess where I was today? I was at Fry's buying a Bluetooth dongle. So I bought a Bluetooth 4.0 dongle. It's funny, these things, these dongles are so tiny now. I mean, it's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get this out if I plug it in. Like, that's how small this is. So that will be sitting pretty in one of my USB ports. Another reason why I'm running out of USB ports is, you know, stupid little things like dongles. So, I will be ready to go. The Bluetooth will be there and ready. Everything will be golden and good to go. I am considering, I bought some extension cords. I am considering permanently, I've tried this and it kind of worked, permanently affixing the wires from the headsets to the ceiling with a hook and a little strappy thing that can like flex a little bit. I'm seriously considering hoisting them up onto the ceiling. I want your opinion on that, folks. Is that smart or is that dumb? I've seen it done good. I've seen it done well. I've seen it done poorly. I've seen it done, though. Do we do this or not? Inquiring minds want to know. So give me, is that the final piece that I need for my VR gaming PC. You know, that ability to have the cables be up and out of the way, I don't know. So give me your best thoughts on that. I originally had suggested that we do this at work as well, and they're kind of high on it. They really think it's a great idea. So if anybody has done it, send me some pictures. I'm really curious to see what it looks like, because I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about it. Let's see. Couple announcements. We are trying to do a Reddit AMA with yours truly, Reverend Kyle. That is still being planned. We're going to try to weasel that in somewhere along the line, hopefully sooner rather than later. The build-up, though, is to Oculus Connect 3, which is coming soon to a city called San Jose near you or far away from you. I don't know. I will be there. I have been blessed with a pass to Oculus Connect 3, and I will be cruising in, I believe, on the evening of October 4th. The 5th through the 7th, which is all the way to the Friday, is the actual event. I am going to be, over the course of the next couple episodes, talking to developers about Oculus Connect 3 and what we are going to expect from that show, possible rumors, possible outcomes, who's going to be showing off what, what are the possibilities. So Oculus Connect is going to be the focus on the next couple episodes, so stay tuned to that. On the 8th, Saturday, October 8th, is the Proto Awards, and yours truly, Reverend Kyle here, is on the Board of Governors. So I was one to judge the experiences in certain categories, the ones that I was assigned. And so the Proto Awards is happening in Los Angeles on the 8th, which is the day after Oculus Connect 3. I will be flying down for that, and I look forward to seeing at least some of you there, if not all of you. Then I fly home, because the following week we're having Immerse in Seattle, previously known as SEA VR. This is a Seattle enterprise B2B type of expo. It's usually pretty exciting. I will be there hawking my wares at Studio 216, showing off some really amazing, innovative stuff. We're going to talk about that down the road here very shortly as well. And then after Immerse, we jump straight into Valve's sponsored Steam Dev Days. So all of you will be at Connect for a week. You'll be in California for a week, and then you'll be in Seattle for a week. If you are a dev and you're going to be going to all of these things, I will see you there. It's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be pretty exciting to have everybody together. There were rumors of a beach house for Connect. Those of you who are familiar with the stories about the previous years, Connect beach houses. Yes, they're not stories, they're legends, folks. You kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt. Not all of that really happened, but some of it did. So anyway, I'm still looking for a name, the proper name for my new VR gaming PC. I do want to come up with something here pretty soon. We had an easy time naming the new machine. We got a new rendering rig at work, which holds two Intel Xeon, a dual Intel Xeon build with 128 gig of RAM and all sorts of craziness. We've named it The Beast, and he is our rendering champion. So The Beast is all about them cores, all about them cores. And with hyper-threading and all of the cores, I think we've got 40-plus cores hanging out, 40-plus threads hanging out on that device. That's just, he is a beast. And so, therefore, his name is The Beast. Having some difficulty with my mixed reality setup here in my VR dungeon, I have finally cleaned it up and got the green screen down and the cameras set up and I'm still trying to work out all of the kinks and mixed reality recording with the Vive has been a challenge for me. So I'm trying desperately to get that working. I know I can do it with post-production. That's not the problem. The problem is I want to be able to stream live, and I want to be able to stream live onto Twitch, and that's kind of the goal. So I'm still working on that. If anybody wants to be bold and ambitious and stop by my house and help me set up, Kush off to come to Seattle first. Yeah, let me know. I'm looking for some assistance there. What else am I looking for? Well, I already had one very, very talented individual send in a great idea for a new logo. Unfortunately, it focuses on the wrong aspect of my personality, but it was a valiant effort, and I commended him for it. He's going to keep working on it, but I'm looking for a new logo. I'm looking for a new logo for the Rev VR podcast, and you know, just remember that the Rev VR podcast, that's what we're shooting for. So so keep that in mind. If you are a starving artist and looking for some street cred, come up with a logo for me. Send it in. We'll see if we like it. Also looking for some new intro outro music, and I would love to be able to say music provided by you. You wonderfully talented individual who makes music and would love to have your name spouted out at the end of every one of my episodes. Let me know. I will be your avenue to success. So I'm looking for some good music, you know, little beats, little techno, little bass. I don't know, you know, let you tell me what you think this show needs. That's what I'm looking for. So we've got some future guests that we're going to be working with. Like I said, we're going to be building up the next couple episodes are going to be building up to Oculus Connect 3. So if you have anything that you'd like to hear me talk about, or rumors or questions about Oculus Connect 3, the Proto Awards, MERS, Steam Dev Days, any of that stuff coming up, reach out to me and let me know. You can get me in the normal fashion by going to Twitter @ReverendKJR, or you can go to Facebook, which is /ReverendKJR, or you can email me, ReverendKJR@gmail.com, and I always read the emails. I try to respond as quickly as I can. Please be patient with me, but I am looking for some feedback. I think it's really interesting to hear what the audience has to say. I've been very pleased with our numbers lately, so keep spreading the word of how wonderful the Rev VR podcast is, especially when it includes the wonderful paid advertisement from the folks at Intel. Thanks to them for helping the show reach its ultimate success and realize its full potential. So I want to thank them for the sponsorship, and I want to thank you very much for listening.